Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is John Kuzma from EndZoneBlog.com's Across the Middle Show, where we weigh in on all the latest NFL news and updates from around the league. Thank you guys for tuning in. Hopefully you guys like what you hear today, and I think you guys will. We're actually going to start with Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins. You know, I believe Kyler Murray should be penalized for not participating in the NFL Combine, and Dwayne Haskins' stock should be on the rise. It's funny how we lost sight of that. Now, when I say penalized, I don't mean like, he should be, you know, completely dropped out of the first two rounds or anything like that. More so, I just think these evaluators should kind of knock him down a little bit for the fact that he goes to the combine and he doesn't even work out. But anyway, I have this article I'll read for you. Let me know what you guys think. You can tweet us. You can tweet us at EndZoneBlog NFL. Or on Instagram at just EndZoneBlog. But anyway, you know, with everyone raving about Kyler Murray and the consensus being that Murray will be drafted number one overall, we have to ask ourselves why. Yeah, Murray was a Heisman-winning quarterback at the University of Oklahoma, but how many Heisman winners have completely flopped in the NFL? The answer is far too many to remember, and there's also several other signs that Murray isn't dependable. He's had some really bad interviews leading up to the combine, and then he chose not to participate in any drill work during that event. The audacity and arrogance of those decisions should be enough to repel some teams, but instead the complete opposite is happening. Everyone seems to be even more behind Murray. The person being cheated by all this is Dwayne Haskins. A lot of scouts are making a big deal because Haskins ran slow 40-yard dash, but you have to remember he's a pocket passer. Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, and Jared Goff are all slow players, but they throw the football exceptionally well. Haskins is the same way, and the fact that he went to Indianapolis and showed off some serious throw power in the drill works should have elevated his stock. To some degree, even participating in that whole process shows Haskins is a better leader. If somebody was trying to get a job at Walmart and they didn't give any effort in their interview, they wouldn't get hired. Why should Murray be any different? Something is starting to feel off about the Oklahoma prospect, and that's before we take into consideration all of his red flags. You know, he's undersized, he's a scrambler who's prone to injury, etc. NFL teams are getting caught up in the social media hype, but Haskins is the guy who's going to have the last laugh in the end. All this means is he'll end up going to a better team if he slides further down the draft board. So Kyler Murray shows up in Indianapolis for the combine and says, "I'm not doing nothing." To me, that is arrogance. To me, that's fear of failure. To me, that's maybe he's thinking, oh, I might not be good in this area or in this drill, and I'm just not going to do it. Either way, it's arrogance. It's, you know, the audacity of it is just, I can't even believe it. And the Arizona Cardinals are just eating it up. Oh, we're going to take him number one overall. We're going to trade Josh Rosen. It's like, dude, are you guys watching what I'm watching? This guy had some terrible interviews leading up to the combine where it seemed like he didn't care. Not to mention, he already bailed on the Oakland A's. What's to keep him from bailing on the Arizona Cardinals and deciding, you know what, I do want to play baseball after all. You know, I had a change of heart. It's already done it once. I just don't get what the Arizona Cardinals are thinking. Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury likes him, but, you know, I was talking to Benjamin Albright on Twitter, and Albright was talking about how Cliff Kingsbury's offense was at its best with pocket passers on the field. And then I brought up to Albright, you know, when Jet Duffy was on the field, they took a big step back from when Alan Bowman was playing. And, you know, in Jet Duffy's defense, he'll probably get better down the line. But it's clear that, you know, Bowman helped the Red Raiders, a.k.a. Texas Tech, perform really, really well, Alan Bowman did, compared to when Jet Duffy, a more mobile quarterback, was on the field. So as far as Kyler Murray goes, I get that Kingsbury put out that statement, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago or whenever it was, that he would take him number one overall in the draft. But it's just so risky. He's short. He's a scrambler. Is he going to hold up durability-wise? Not to mention, we've seen all these Heisman winners flop in the NFL because their game doesn't translate over to the pro level. He seemed uninterested in the interviews and came off super cocky, just like, it doesn't matter what I say to you. There's just a lot of red flags with Kyler Murray. Now, I could be eating crow. He could come out and light it up and be one of the best players we've ever seen and be everything he was at Oklahoma. But remember, in Oklahoma, he had a system that helped him so much. It's not like being in Arizona. At Oklahoma, you're the cream of the crop. The system is great. The players you have around you are very good. And you're expected to win in the Big 12 because you're one of the upper echelon programs. Arizona is the bottom of the barrel of the NFL, the worst team in the league. There's no help around him. That offense was anemic last year. Is Kyler Murray really going to solve all their problems? It's a stretch. And if he gets his ass kicked too much, like I said, does he go back to baseball and say, oh, screw it, the pain and the punishment I'm taking behind this terrible Arizona Cardinals offensive line isn't worth it? Just so many red flags. And then Dwayne Haskins, he shows up to the combine, shows off a rocket arm, with just throwing laser slant routes. Threw 50 touchdowns at Oklahoma State. Mind you, took it seriously to the point where he participated. They asked him why he decided to participate in the combine. He said, I throw the football. That's what I've always done. It's no big thing being out here. To me, Haskins is a better leader. He's more humble. He's got the size. He looks like the ideal NFL quarterback. He's a pocket passer, which is always much more preferable than Kyler Murray. I think Dwayne Haskins is going to be a much better player. Who knows, though? I've been wrong before. Lance Zierlein, a very good NFL analyst, said, what's your biggest miss as far as evaluating players go? And for me, you know, the biggest miss I've ever had is I remember when Blake Bortles was coming out, I said any team who's looking for an NFL quarterback should be looking at Blake Bortles. Clearly, moving forward to now, it hurts to even say that publicly because Bortles has been a complete letdown. But right now, if you had to take my observation into account, it's Dwayne Haskins is going to be a way, way better player than Kyler Murray. And like I said, there's so many red flags with Murray that I just can't even believe Arizona is just going to take him number one. And why haven't the Cardinals even considered taking Dwayne Haskins? They haven't even really talked about it. There's been no speculation. To me, that is completely absurd. I can understand if they want to go Nick Bosa or Quinnen Williams, but they haven't even weighed the Dwayne Haskins thing, or it hasn't really gained any traction. And to me, just to be so sure that Kyler Murray is the guy, when he didn't show up at the combine, all the bad interviews, red flags with size, he's a scrambler, not a pocket passer, he could go back to baseball. I just don't get how the Arizona Cardinals are so adamant that that's their guy. But then again, that's why the Arizona Cardinals are picking number one in the draft, because they are just in a mess. I don't know how Steve Keim even has a job anymore, but whatever. Next topic. Landon Collins should put on 10 pounds, switch to weak side linebacker, and reinvent himself, a move that would clearly play to his strengths. With the New York Giants choosing not to franchise tag Landon Collins, it's a move that isn't too surprising. While Collins is one of the better safeties in the league when he's on, there's no doubt that he does struggle at times from a coverage standpoint. Apparently, Dave Gettleman thought that was too much of a liability, and it makes you wonder why Collins doesn't just switch to a linebacker spot. After averaging 109 tackles per season over his first 4 years, it just makes sense for a guy who is exceptional at stopping the run. Not only would this change significantly cut down on Collins' coverage responsibilities, it lets him play in the box full time, which is where he wants to be anyway. It's definitely a risk to change positions, but his stats could end up skyrocketing with less space between him and the offense. Obviously, Collins will have to play in a 4-3 scheme, but there's a number of teams out there that could use his help. The Falcons, Raiders, and Buccaneers are all a match, and Collins could probably start right away. Now, if there's any reason why the veteran defender would oppose the changing positions, it's probably because he'll take less punishment as a safety. However, teams are starting to realize that Collins is susceptible to the pass, and eventually that's going to deplete his value. Doesn't make sense to let it get to that point, and the fans will be intrigued by such a high-profile player transitioning to a different spot on the field. The good news is if things don't work out, he can always switch back to safety. You have to believe some coach has already ran it by Collins, but for whatever reason, it hasn't happened yet. Maybe it never will, but it's definitely something that he should consider to provide more of an impact for whoever signs him. So Landon Collins, he's a tackler. He's not a pass defender. Once in a while, he can do well against the pass. He actually had 1 year, I think he had 5 interceptions, which was his best year. I think he even took one to the house. But the consistency as far as defending the pass goes hasn't been there. And we know he's a punishing tackler. He flies up and runs support. He likes to stick his nose in the air. And he's a step slow when it comes to covering wide receivers. So change positions. Safety, you have to be quick. You have to be instinctive. And first and foremost, you have to be able to defend the pass. And Landon Collins struggles. So put him at weak side linebacker where there's one less blocker on that side, where he has more freedom to roam. Put him in a 4-3 and let him smack every run that comes his way. I bet you he'll go for 130 tackles per year. I really believe that. If he's getting 100 tackles at strong safety each year, he averaged 109 tackles over his first 4 years, he's going to get 130 tackles at the weak side linebacker spot. You know, like I said, he wants to play in the box anyway. Let him do it. Now, the physical punishment, you know, there's more physical punishment when you're playing a linebacker spot. And outside linebackers don't make as much in a 4-3 defense as a 3-4 outside linebacker, because the 3-4 outside linebacker rushes the quarterback. But I just think it would be a good move for Landon Collins. Then he doesn't have to worry about getting beat deep. He won't be a liability and against the pass for whoever he signs with. Now, a high-end safety almost makes just as much as a 4-3 outside linebacker. So financially, he probably won't like it too much. And when you factor in all the punishment he has to take as a linebacker, that's probably why he doesn't want to do it, but he really should. But anyway, I'm running out of time today. I'm John Kuzma. Check out endzoneblog.com. I appreciate it. I'm signing off. Have a great day.